On Monday, Sal showed up in the afternoon with a cardboard suitcase. AR was shaving and Carolyn napping. You didn't break the bank buying that piece of luggage.
Always with the smart stuff, Sal said.
I told him to return in an hour, which would give me enough time to count the loot and scrape up what I needed. Then, carrying a brown bag, I led him down to the park on Riverside Drive.
You bringing your lunch along?
Yeah, hot off the streets. He sniffed.
You smell something?
No, why?
Never mind.
When we reached the park, I stood admiring the view. The leaves had already begun to turn orange and red, and the river looked like silver plate.
Not bad, eh? Quit stalling. The stone, Henny, the stone.
First things first. I handed him a piece of paper with Brad Gillespie's name and address. This is the guy I want clobbered.
And if he ain't home?
Ask the housekeeper. She'll know where he is. But don't you dare lay a finger on her.
How about a fist?
Very funny.
Then how come you ain't laughing? Now give me the ice.
I looked around. An elderly couple was strolling our way. Pinned to the man's jacket lapel was a cross of Lorraine. He probably had a son who fought and died in the war. I waited until they'd passed. Hold out your hand. Sal did. Opening the bag, I withdrew a small object that I plopped in his palm.
What the hell's this?
Shit, wrapped in cellophane, with a diamond inside. Utterly bewildered, Sal stood there staring at his hand. It wasn't until the smell of horse manure reached his nostrils that he realized I might not be kidding.
Is this some kind of joke?
Peel off the crap and you'll find a diamond inside. He picked up a twig and poked the turd, revealing the filth-coated Farouk. From that day to this, I don't think I've ever seen anyone with a bloodier look. He knew that he'd eventually have to take hold of the stone and dirty his hands. Before he got the idea of wiping them on me, I dashed across the street, streaking for home. At my back, I could hear Zucania cry, "Porca putana!" The last words he ever said to me. Yes, I had taken Lily's bribe, and having done so, I hated myself, knowing that if Hank had lived and asked me to bear witness, I was honor-bound to remain silent. Why then did I take it? Revenge. Having put my own interests before those of my friend, I chose to take out my self-loathing on Sal, a target truly deserving of my hatred. In such ways, I've since learned, we turn private displeasures into public disgust. At the house, I went straight to my room and pocketed $10,000, stuffing the rest in a duffel bag. When AR came downstairs, I settled my so-called debt, which in fact was pure and simple extortion. "Where," he suspiciously asked, "did you manage to find so much dough?"
"Silence is golden."
He seemed amused, I would even say flattered, that I would quote him. Preparing to go out, he asked me to be sure to say goodbye to Carolyn. I promised him I wouldn't forget. He pinched my cheek.
"You're the real McCoy. And let me tell you, kid, that's not a small thing when there are so many other ways to be."
A second later, he was gone from my life forever. Carolyn helped me pack my valise, adding a few dresses and skirts of her own, as well as the costume jewelry she'd lent me. She pooh-poohed my objections. I started to cry. Her generous gifts revived memories better forgotten. She called a cab and waited with me in front of the house. It was closing time, and the streets were crowded with people leaving work. As I entered the cab, I told her that I would return often to visit, and that I'd call her about our getting together to take in the theater. A few seconds later, she was lost from sight. I returned to my mother's apartment. Looking out the street window at the young doctors and nurses playing tennis, their promising futures in front of them, made me feel terribly lonely. I never spoke to Carolyn again. I read the newspapers every day. Though A.R. was frequently in the news, I saw no mention of her.